Hello and welcome to Our Site as we return to our Back to the Bible series. We've reached the first book of Samuel in the Old Testament. I hope you have a Bible handy or one on your device and that you can turn now to the first book of Samuel. I'm going to read some verses from 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is Hannah's prayer, the prayer that Samuel's mother prayed when he was dedicated to the Lord. It's an amazing prayer. It's reminiscent of Mary, the mother of Jesus, Magnificat, that maybe sometimes you have recited in a church service. So 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah's prayer. We read, "Then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth bursts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God.'" And then down to verse 6, "The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed one." Just so far, and may God bless his word to our hearts this morning. I've entitled our sermon from 1 Samuel, "A Tragic Transition." A tragic transition. It's the tragic transition that took place when Israel moved from being a theocracy, where God was their king, to a monarchy, where a man became their king. And when you go from God's rule to man's rule, it's not too long before you have divided rule, and divided rule brings its painful consequences. It is strangely coincidental, perhaps, that we look at this book on Pentecost Sunday. Today is Whit Sunday, and it's also the Sunday after Mother's Day, because the book begins with a story of a barren woman who became a mother and really did have, in Hannah's case, a kind of Holy Spirit Pentecost experience. Then the book tells of her son Samuel, who heard the voice of God and who grew up also to have a Pentecost-type experience. Then it tells of Israel's first king, Saul, and he also had a Pentecost-type experience. Three kinds of Old Testament Pentecostals. I think that's great, don't you? Hannah was the lady's name, and she had a hard time. Her husband had another wife, and that's not usually a great idea. The other wife bore children and became a pain in the neck, always provoking and irritating Hannah in a constant rivalry for the husband's affection and attention. In chapter 1, in verse 10, we read, "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept and prayed much to the Lord, and made a vow, saying, 'Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you, so that he can be yours for the whole of his life.'" She kept on praying to the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Eli was the priest. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and he said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." Doesn't that remind you of the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples in Jerusalem? They were praising the Lord in many languages, and the people thought they were drunk. Well, God answered Hannah's prayer, and she conceived and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, because God had heard. and she kept her vow. And after he was weaned, she presented him to the Lord, and he did serve the Lord all the days of his life, as one of the greatest priest-prophets in all of the history of Israel. And at his dedication service, as a little fellow, at the house of the Lord in Shiloh, just like Mary, the mother of Jesus, Hannah, Samuel's mother, broke out in prayer and praise. Filled with the Holy Spirit of God, she sounded forth in her own Magnificat, which we read just a moment ago. What a great prayer it was! My heart rejoices in the Lord whose strength and salvation has lifted me to the heights. Mary in her Magnificat said, My soul rejoices in the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abram and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. How like Hannah's prayer was the Magnificat that Mary, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave praise and prayer to God. Well, 1,000 years before, Hannah had exalted the Lord in praise and prayer for his might, his holiness, his omniscience, his compassion, his sovereignty. Look again at verses 6 to 8 of 2 Samuel. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. Now, doesn't that remind you of Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, where the Apostle Paul says, Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, that we may also share in his glory. And doesn't Hannah's prayer remind you also of what Paul says to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6? God has raised us up with Christ, he says, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a prayer from this once bitter and barren lady, Hannah, who was transformed by her Pentecost-type experience, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Her prayer closes on this powerful prophetic note, as under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, she declares that God will raise up an anointed king. Then the spotlight in this book falls on Samuel, the boy who grew up in the presence of the Lord, chapter 2, verse 21. Despite the spiritual weakness of Eli the priest and the spiritual wickedness of his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, we read in chapter 3 and verse 19, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. And none of his words fell to the ground. That is, none of his words were wasted. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. What a wonderful story this is, as the spotlight now falls upon Samuel himself. Chapter 8 and verse 5 introduces the story of the tragic transition from theocracy to monarchy. If you can turn there in your Bible, I read to you from chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. They said to him, that is, the elders of Israel, and that is to Samuel, You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. But when they said, Give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It's not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and for serving other gods, and so they're doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do. And so the story moves from Israel being a theocracy to a monarchy, a tragic transition. And so enter Saul, Israel's first king, who ended up coming last, in a manner of speaking. In chapter 10, we read of Saul being appointed by God and anointed by God to be king over Israel. And yes, he also has a Pentecost-type experience. In chapter 10 and verse 6 we read, The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. And once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. The words of Samuel to Saul, Israel's first appointed king. And as we look down at chapter 10 and verses 9 to 13, this is what we read. As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. When they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of the prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined in their prophesying. When all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, What is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? A man who lived there answered, And who is their father? So it became a saying, Is Saul also among the prophets? After Saul stopped prophesying, he went to the high place. Long live the king, the people shouted, when Samuel had explained how life would work under a human king. Friend, Saul started out so well. He was head and shoulders above the rest, literally. But he never managed to manage himself well, and he finally ended up a demented failure, seeking the counsel of a witch. The Israelites had done an evil thing rejecting the rule of God. They didn't want a theocracy. They wanted a monarchy. And to this day they pay the price, a very high price. They set the scene for what happened 1,000 years later when they said of Jesus, the King of the Jews, We will not have this man rule over us. Let his blood be on us and on our children. 2,000 years on from there, their eyes are still blind to the Messiah and King. But one day soon, God will take away that spiritual blindness when the fullness of the Gentiles have come into the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and they will look upon the one they have pierced and mourn, the Bible says, and in great numbers they will turn to him, the one whom God has raised up to the highest place, given the name that is above every other name, the Lord Jesus Christ. God tore the kingdom from King Saul, gave it to a man after his own heart named David. And the story of David is too good to pass over, so we'll begin to look at that next Sunday, God willing. Meanwhile, back to Samuel for a while. Why, Samuel just seemed to live in the blessing of Pentecost. In New Testament language, he just walked in the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit of God. He kept in step with the Holy Spirit. The tragic transition from a theocracy to a monarchy grieved Samuel as much as it grieved God. His farewell speech, that is Samuel's farewell speech, found in chapter 12 of 1 Samuel, will touch the heart of any man or woman who has real blood coursing through their veins. It reminds us so much of Moses and Joshua's farewell speeches, and even the Apostle Paul's farewell speech to the elders of the Ephesian church. I love chapter 12 and verse 18 of 1 Samuel. It says, "All the people stood in awe of the Lord and Samuel." Doesn't that remind you of Elisha the prophet, when he had had his Pentecost experience and crossed the Jordan on dry ground? The prophets of Jericho, who had before had taunted and mocked him, bowed down before him and exclaimed, "The spirit of Elijah rests upon Elisha." Friend, if your theology is not saturated with pneumatology, if your understanding and doctrine of God is not saturated with an understanding of the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit, you have a problem. "It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Here are some of the lessons that we can take home with us today from the first book of Samuel. Lesson number one, prayer is still the most powerful force in the world. We learn that from Hannah, Samuel's mother. We learn it also from Samuel himself. And as here in South Africa, as in other parts of the world, we're approaching or going through election time, this is a good thing to remember. Prayer is still the most powerful force in the world. And God says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land and forgive their sin." Despite the unworthiness of king and people, Samuel declared, chapter 12 and verse 23, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you." And I say the same to us in these days. No matter what the circumstances are in which we're living, or the country in which we're living, or the government that we have, far be it from us that we should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for those whom God has set in authority. Prayer is still the most powerful force in the world. Lesson number two, God's purposes are accomplished by those who listen to his voice. Everything changed when the little boy Samuel listened to the voice of God and learned to live a life where he listened to the voice of God. Friend, if you're not hearing God, you're in trouble at the very center of your Christian life and experience. God's purposes are accomplished by those who listen to his voice and obey. The third lesson we can take home from 1 Samuel is nothing of eternal significance can be done without the Holy Spirit. "It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." Be filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by him, and there is no limit to what God can do in and through your life. This is the lesson that we learn from Samuel. And then lesson number four, God is sovereign in the affairs of men, as Hannah mentions in her prayer. History, friend, is his story, as we've said again and again. God overrules the failures of priests like Eli. God overrules the failures of kings like Saul. God overrules the failures of leaders and nations to accomplish his eternal purposes. Will you remember this reality, this truth today? You can reject God from being king over your life or your nation, but you cannot dethrone him. You can reject God from being king over your life if you choose to do so. Nations can reject God from being king over their lives, but you cannot dethrone God. Hitlers and Putins will come and go, but God remains enthroned forever. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and it rules over all. And then finally today, the biggest lesson of all that we can learn from 1 Samuel is, it doesn't pay to stray. Oh friend, if you're straying away from the Lord today, be assured, it doesn't pay to stray. Whether you're a priest like Eli or a king like Saul, if you stray, you will pay. May God help us to learn the lessons that we can glean from 1 Samuel. And now let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that you speak to us so clearly and so loudly from your word. We thank you for the first book of Samuel. We thank you for the lessons that we can glean today, the reminder that prayer is still the most powerful force in the world, the reminder that your purposes are accomplished by those who listen to your voice, the reminder that nothing of eternal significance can be accomplished without the Holy Spirit, the reminder that, Lord, you are sovereign in the affairs of men. History is your story. We pray that you'll write our story today until we see you face to face, and keep us from straying from your ways. Now to the God who is able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
There's an endless song waiting to be sung, with the voice of every tribe, the sound of every tongue. When the bride of Christ on that day of days brings with joy unto the Lamb a multitude of praise, like the roar of mighty seas and rolls of thunder, hear his people sing, hallelujah. In his name, then greater.